Blog Talk Radio.
All righty. Well, let's get into some
great music. Okay.
Looking down.
below it does not last, or did you care? Cause at times I felt like it was so unfair. When I was scared, were you there? And did you know how it felt the very first time my heart broke? When it seemed like I had no place to go. Were you so close? Did you know?
Everything else can wait. I've come to seek your face. So everything else can wait. I'm here for you. I want to just everything else can wait. I've come to seek your face. So everything else can wait. I'm here for you. I want. Nothing matters more. There's nothing I want more. God. There's nothing I want more.
Your loving kindness tore through the shadows.
Came the morning that sealed the promise. You buried me.
I hope you enjoyed the praise and worship part of the service. All righty. Let's now get into the message. All right. It's called Relational Peace. Okay? Give me a second to get my notes together. All right. Okay. And I'm taking this from Romans chapter 12, verse 18. Okay? So let's get into an opening prayer for the service. Dear Father in Heaven, accept our thanks today for all you allow us to learn and receive from you, Lord. Help us, your children, to follow the Savior with the right spirit and a true understanding, Lord. Protect us from evil, from all the works of Satan. Lord, in our generation, may we experience your rulership and wonders. In the name of Jesus, we pray, reveal yourself in power, Lord. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, that we may realize that they are in your hands, and that is your will to set everything right, Lord. Be with us this night, Lord. Bless and strengthen us for all the work entrusted to us, Lord. And we pray this in the mighty, blessed name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. As we open our Bibles to Romans 12, I want to talk to you about a most important skill that you probably never learned. The lack of the skill has led to family feuds, world wars, and even church conflict. The absence of the skill has led many people to sleepless nights, divorce court, and even the cemetery. The skill I'm talking about is the ability to resolve conflict, the ability to settle an argument, to reconcile differences, and bury the hatchet. The ability to resolve conflict is one of the most important things you can ever learn, because you cannot get away from conflict. There will be conflict at home, school, work, neighborhood, and even at church. The story is told of a man shipwrecked on a deserted island. He built many buildings while he was there. And when he was rescued, his rescuers asked about the buildings. Although he was completely alone, there was a store, a gym, and two houses of worship. He said one church is where he worshiped and the other church is where he used to worship before the church fight. The story is a humorous reminder that you can't escape a conflict. From the playroom to the boardroom, schoolhouse, or church house, spouse, kids, co-workers, neighbors. No relationship has ever failed because of conflict. Our relationships end or they are crippled because of an unwillingness on one or both parties to deal with the conflict. So God wants us to have a healthy relationships, and that requires a commitment to resolving conflicts and pursuing relational peace. A personal responsibility, if possible. Lots of love people. Lots of people love those two words because they think it lets them off the hook. It actually puts you on the hook. You don't know whether or not it's possible or impossible until you have done quite a bit of work. Conflict is never accidentally resolved. Conflict may be caused accidentally, but it may be resolved intentionally. Conflicts will not resolve themselves. Time heals all wounds. Absolutely not. If that were true, we'd be cured before we got to go see the doctor. So time makes unresolved and unaddressed issues worse. Ignoring a leaking roof or see if a problem gets better. Ignore a suspicion mole on your back to see if it gets better. Lots of people have died physically and the doctor's diagnosis was simply, we're not able to catch it in time. The only way to resolve a conflict is to face it and deal with it. You say, well, I'm just a peacemaker. There is a world of difference between peacemakers and a peacekeeper. Take the initiative and say, I'm a person responsible to do all I can resolve this conflict. God demands it from you. Nestled in these two words is possibly a mandate from God. Do everything you possibly can to reconcile. In order to be right with God, I do not have the privilege of writing someone off. God commands me to do all I can to resolve it. In times of conflict, the major question is always, who will make the first move? The Bible commands it to be me. Unbelievers tend to say, they must make the first move. Christians will cry to say, I will make the first move. If you say, I'm not going to do that, then you're in rebellion. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14, pursue peace with all men. Psalms 34:14, depart from evil and do good, seek peace and pursue it. Romans 14:19, pursue the things which make for peace and the building up of one another. And Matthew 5:23-24, if you are presenting your offering at the altar and remember that your brother has something against you, leave your offering there before the altar and go first reconcile to your brother and then come and present your offering. Whether you are guilty, innocent, or most likely partially to blame, God demands us as his children to be peacemakers and to make the first move. If two Christians are at odds with one another, at least one of them is not obeying God, maybe both, at least one. So God demands it from you, and God demonstrated it for you. God requires me to treat you the way he has treated me. Ephesians 4:32, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ has forgiven you. In Philippians 2, do nothing out of selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind consider one another as more important than yourself. And do not look out for your own interests only, but also for the interests of others. In 1 Peter 2:21, for you have been called for this purpose, since Christ has also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps. In Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates his love for us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So I'm so glad God didn't sit on a throne in heaven and say, I did nothing wrong. He started it. He's going to be made right. He will have to come to me and beg my forgiveness. No, the only one who could rightly say he'd never done anything wrong. Jesus came to do the will of the Father by seeking those who had offended God by their sin. To do the will of the Father, Jesus initiated an offer of grace to those in wrong. When I make a move of reconciliation towards someone who has wronged me, I'm actually making a move in the direction of God. A personal responsibility, a possible, a practical reality, so far it depends on you. The middle portion of this verse is filled with practical shoe leather Christianity. This is where the rubber meets the road. Okay, the extent of this command so far as much as. You cannot claim as far as when you haven't gone very far. Okay, you cannot claim in as much when you haven't done much. You can honestly say that. You've prayed, you initiated a conversation, you sincerely apologized for your part, you read a book or listened to a sermon on this, you pushed back the plate and fasted, you confided, not gossiped in a friend for prayer, you quit doing the thing that led to the breach. Many times we are like a child who works on a job for 15 seconds and says, I can't do this, I really tried hard. The extent of this command, so far as much as, the exception to this command, it depends on you. You've heard that it takes two to tangle. The tangle isn't the only thing it takes two people to do. It takes two people to reconcile. There are some people who will never be willing to have peace. In those cases, I need to love them, pray for them, grieve over the broken relationship, but wipe the dust off my feet. There comes a time when I'm free from pursuing you. But this necessarily means that I leave the door open for you. May we not ever have peace again, but it won't be because of me. Okay, I will honor your request to never come back to your house, but you are welcome at my house at any time. I will not answer for Jesus for you. I will answer to Jesus for me. A personal responsibility, a possible, a practical reality so far as it depends on you, a plan of response, be at peace with all men. Example, here in San Antonio, first responders routinely train for disasters like hurricanes. When a hurricane is forecasted for our area, emergency management experts already have a plan in place. They know it's just a matter of time. So when a hurricane conflict blows in, do you have a plan? When a tornado, siren, or trouble sounds, do you have a plan? If not, your relationship will likely be a casualty. This is one of those requirements that is so easy to know what to do, but it's so hard to do. So, calm down. Anger is like alcohol in that it makes you crazy. People do foolish things when they're angry. In Proverbs chapter 29, verse 2, an angry person stirs up conflict, and a hot-tempered person commits many sins. So ungodly anger is a sin in itself, and it leads to other sins: screaming, profanity, and name-calling, throwing things, hitting, violence, saying things we don't need to say. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 18, a hot-tempered person stirs up conflict, but a patient man calms a quarrel. For some people, and for each of us, time to time, the first step to resolve a conflict is to say, I'm angry, and I don't need to discuss it right now. Proverbs 29:11, fools give full vent to their rage, but the wise bring calm in the end. So, don't gossip about it. We tend to talk to everybody else about the problem except the one whom we have the problem. In a small town, there's not much to see and not much to do, but what you can hear about makes up for it. So Proverbs chapter 16, verse 28, a perverse person stirs up conflict and a gossip separates close friends. Not only is this unkind, but it's hard to reconcile with a person when we've run them down and gotten all of our friends on our side. So humble yourself in your own part. Proud people will never be at peace. Pride will keep you from doing things that I'm about to mention. In Romans chapter 12, verse 16, live in harmony with one another and do not be proud. Proud people won't admit their part in a breach. Proud only want their side to be heard. Proud people won't reconcile because they may look foolish. Proud people are upset because you didn't deserve to be treated the way they treated you. In James chapter 4, verse 6, the Lord opposed the proud. Okay, so decide if it's a matter of warrants discussion. By the way, if you never answer no to this question, it must most likely be because of pride. Everything isn't that big of a deal. In Proverbs chapter 26, verse 20, for the lack of the wood, the fire goes out, and where there is no whisperer, contention quiets down. On Monday, November 25th, 1963, Mrs. John F. Kennedy lit a flame at the gravesite of her assassinated husband. And it's been burning continuously for over 53 years because it keeps getting fuel. Some arguments are like that. For Proverbs chapter 19, verse 11, a person's wisdom yields patience and is one's glory to overlook an offense. Have you ever noticed that there have only two world wars in the thousands of years of human history, but some people have three world wars every week? So take some advice from Frozen and let it go. Much of what the people argue about in the home is so significant. Okay, not only will it not matter in eternity, it won't matter in an hour. So making reconciliation your goal. If you don't have a goal, you'll miss it every time. If you don't have the wrong goal, okay, you just might hit it. Okay, the goal is not to let them know how much they hurt you, to give them peace of your mind to win the argument. The goal is to win your brother, sister, spouse, child. Matthew chapter 18, verse 15, if your brother sins, go and show him his fault in private. If he listens to you, then you have won your brother. Example, I can argue and debate better than my wife. I have a stronger personality, but I don't want to use that to win an argument. I want to win her. Select the time and place that are productive. Time of day, time of month, time of week, time of life. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 23, if a man has joy by the answer of his mouth and a word spoken in due season, how good is it? Okay, the goal is not to speak when I'm most ready to speak, but when you're most ready to hear. So find a time and place that is free from distraction and interruption. Speak with a soft tone. I've gone into several conflict resolution meetings lately and started by saying, I don't know how this meeting needs to begin, but I know how I want to end. In Proverbs chapter 15, verse 1, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. This is one of several reasons your conversation should be face-to-face. You can't judge tone in an email or text. You'll never solve a problem via text message. Listen more than you talk. God gave you two ears and one mouth for a reason. But one thing you'll have less to apologize for. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 14. Okay, the mind of the intelligent seeks knowledge, but the mouth of the fool feeds on folly. And Proverbs chapter 15, verse 28. The heart of the righteous ponders how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things. And in James chapter 1, verse 19, everything should be quick to listen and slow to speak. So, pray and ask Jesus to help you. The greatest peacemaker of all time was God. He is an expert at it. Get him on your side. Reconciliation may not be possible for you, but with God, all things are possible. So in conclusion, I heard about a senior adult couple that had been married for 65 years, and the old man said they never had a single argument. And so a young man asked, how is that possible? The old man replied, I attribute it to her studies in college. See, she was a communications major, and I studied theater. The young man asked, well, how did that help? Well, the wise old cop replied, as a communication major, she did all the talking. As a theater major, I acted like I was listening. So don't let that be you. Let's not be actors or pretenders, just people of God seeking to live in a relational peace. Amen. So let us pray. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you that you know us all and that you look deep into our hearts, watching over us in everything we go through, whether easy or difficult, Lord. We thank you that we do not stand alone, but that you hear in the smallest sigh of each of your children, Lord. We thank you that darkness must give way to light, Lord, distress to joy and fear to strength and courage, Lord. For you lead us through everything, Lord. It is when you bring about from your future world not anything within our sight that gives us strength and courage and endurance through everything, Lord. We thank you from our hearts, from our unending gifts, and we are amazed that it was possible for us to receive all this from you, Lord. So protect us and keep us childlike so that we remain in the fellowship that the Lord Jesus has given us, singing praise to him in the glory and honor of your name. And we pray this in the mighty, precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now this is where we get to the most important question, and that is, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? If you do not, that's okay, because you will have an opportunity in a moment. But let me ask you, are you tired of traveling down this long, dusty road, never knowing which way to go, or which way, up or down? Okay? Or maybe you're lacking purpose in life and you need some. Or maybe you suffer from depression or anxiety. Or maybe you suffer from something worse, such as addiction to alcohol, drugs, sexual immorality, gambling, overeating, whatever the problem may be, okay, the Lord Jesus Christ can take it away. But in order for him to do so, guess what? He's got to know you. And in order for him to know you, you've got to ask him in. So the question is, do you want to get to know the Lord Jesus Christ this evening? If so, simply say this prayer after me. Say, dear God in heaven, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I acknowledge you that I am a sinner, and I'm sorry for my sins and the life that I have lived, and I so desperately need your forgiveness. I believe that your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, shed his precious blood on the cross at Calvary and died for my sins. And I'm now willing to turn from my sins. You said in your holy word in Romans 10:9 that if we confess the Lord our God and believe in our hearts that God raised Jesus from the dead, we shall be saved. So right now, I confess Jesus as Lord of my soul. With my heart, I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. This very moment, I accept Jesus Christ as my own personal Savior, and according to his word, right now, I am saved. So I want to say thank you, Jesus, for your unlimited grace, which has saved me from my sins. I thank you, Jesus, that your grace never leaves the license, but rather it always leads to repentance. So therefore, Lord Jesus, transform my life so I may bring glory and honor to you alone and not to myself. So once again, I want to thank you, Jesus, for dying for me and giving me the precious gift of eternal life. And we pray this in the mighty, precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, I hope you enjoyed the service and the message that I brought to you. So let's play some music. Amen.
This Jesus.
Okay. Well, hope you like those two songs. All righty. Let's get into the prophetic message for today. The Father says today that all things have passed away and all things are become new. I have dissolved myself on the cross and every curse and every imposition of hell against your life. As I have raised to new life, so there is resurrection life coursing through your veins. Where is sickness and disease, it is excluded. Where is weakness and disability, it is lifted by my power. Where is death, it no longer has anything that can strike you with. You are mine, I am yours. The love relationship has begun. New favor has found you this day. You are accepted in the beloved. You are entitled as a favored son and a favored daughter in my kingdom. Be encouraged this day, says the Father. It is not a vain thing or a naive thing to take courage and comfort from my word. The world wants you to be discouraged and angered at what you see happening around you. Anger is not a fruit of the Spirit. There is no wisdom found in a pure brow. Okay? Rejoice and let the peace of joy that is my kingdom fill you up within you. Laugh at faith, says God. Say, Bahaha, for this is the derisiveness of the joy of God that causes all the strongholds of the enemy to be brought down to dust and splinters in the moment of time. I am with you, says God, and will never leave you nor forsake you. This is your security, and this is your comfort in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, says your Father. Amen. Well, this world goes out to those who need it, and you know who you are. Amen. All righty. Well, I'm gonna end this with another song. Okay, and say God bless everybody, and thank you for joining in, okay, and have a blessed evening. Surely he will come. Purpose Gospel Radio. Okay, God bless. Have a good night. Bye-bye.